Jesus is real to me. Some may doubt him, but I know too much about him, for he is real to me. What a great day it is to be alive, alert, and active, for it is in him we live, move, and have our being. And certainly he has blessed us immeasurably and marvelously today. He has not only woke us up this morning, but he has kept us all throughout today and blessed us to experience this special time, this holy time, this preparatory time in his presence. And we do thank him for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he will do. We've been devoted by our deacon, Deacon McLean, and certainly we've been prayed for, and we thank God for praying that prayers have been made that we may stand boldly and speak courageously in such a time as this. The word of God is still needed. The word of God is still foundational. The Bible says, before one jot or tittle shall pass from his word, heaven and earth shall pass. And so make sure, I want to encourage you to make sure you are digging deep. You are spending the proper time, appropriate time in preparing yourself spiritually, preparing yourself spiritually to deal with the satanic opposition that we deal with in the world. This world has a prince of the power of the air, has one who is as a roaring lion that goes about seeking whom he may devour. And to resist him, to resist the devil, you need weaponry. You need the word of God. Just as Jesus withstood him in the wilderness with the word. The word is our weapon of offense and defense. If you look in Ephesians 6, it deals with the armor. And every aspect of the armor deals with the word of God. Amen. If you spend some time and just research and look at what Paul said to the church of Ephesus, he says, put on the whole armor, the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in this evil day. We are living in times of evilness, times of wickedness. Satan is attacking the minds of Christians. He's attacking the minds of people. And he's given us a different perspective, a flawed perspective, if you will, about the church. I'm just thinking about it. You know, we are not afraid to go to Walmart, but we're afraid to assemble as God's people. We are not afraid to go to work, but we are afraid to do what is Christian and what is right. And so make sure you spend appropriate time, proper time, preparing yourself, equipping yourself, putting weapons in your arsenal so you can withstand against the wiles, the stratagems, the wicked devices of the devil. The devil still wants your soul to be lost. Amen. Amen. He wants you to go to hell. He wants you to be destroyed. He wants you to suffer the same destiny that he will suffer. He is going to hell. He doesn't have a chance to turn around. He is over for the devil. And so I ask you to make sure not only you that you prepare yourselves, but prepare those that are near and dear you so that your house can be equipped and your house will stand. Don't be as it's stated of Job. Job was covered, but his children were uncovered. Y'all missed that, didn't you? Job offered up sacrifices for his children, but Satan knew that they were fair game. So when came time of temptation and testing, he could touch his children, but he couldn't touch Job because God had his hands, had a hedge around Job. Listen, your children are not saved by your faith. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only have children. Amen. They don't inherit salvation through you by your faith. You have to share with them the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And then the word says, how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? And then it even deals with your belief. Your belief. How can you believe in whom you have not heard? So you need to hear the word of God, and then you need to be a mouth, a voice for the word of God. Amen. Share the word of God with as many people as you can. What I want you to do, too, is share this Bible study lesson with as many people as you can, because it's our responsibility as light in the earth to shine forth and show forth the works so that others will see the works, the good works, and give glory unto God. Amen. So I encourage you to do that. Share this lesson with as many people as you can. Listen, we are at Matthew chapter 8. And we have been dealing with the Sermon on the Mount for 6 months. Right at 6 months, just chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And so I'm excited about the lesson, because I see this as a continuation of Jesus's ministry. That the first chapters 5, 6, 7 dealt with the teaching of the kingdom. And here he deals with the power of the kingdom being illustrated through his ministry. Amen. If you want to know what the church is called to do, just watch Jesus in scripture. Amen. Watch Jesus in scripture. He says, greater work shall you do than I've done. So he wants us to continue the work. So it's imperative, it's important for us to look at this and investigate this so that we can align our lives and the church, New Bethlehem, and people that will hear this lesson will align their lives with the word of God, so that your life will be pleasing to the Lord and he can use you in a powerful and profound way. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And I want us to look at the first 4 verses. Matthew chapter 8, first 4 verses. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Isn't that wonderful? Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. The word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy word. Miracles of Jesus. Miracles of Jesus. This is the first miracle of Jesus recorded by Matthew. Now, it is John who records the first miracle of Jesus in his ministry, but Matthew's first miracle recorded is this miracle where Jesus cleansed the leper. It's immediately after the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus and great crowds descended the mountain, and at the bottom of the mountain, a leper came to him. While Jesus and the crowd was at the foot of the mountain, here approached Jesus, a leper. Now, understand the setting of the text. Jesus had just descended the mountain where he had taught principles of the kingdom. He had taught the word of the kingdom, the importance of having kingdom attitude that should come forth in kingdom lifestyle or kingdom actions. Now, that's at the top of the mountain, or on the side of the mountain. Jesus taught the word of the kingdom. But at the foot of the mountain, Jesus would show the people the work of the kingdom, practicality of the kingdom. He wanted them to see the kingdom at work. So, word of the kingdom, work of the kingdom. Now, understand the pattern that Jesus sets forth, because in Matthew chapter 16, verse 20, the closing verse of Matthew, or Mark's gospel, excuse me, Mark 16, verse 20, the closing verse of Mark's gospel, it is stated that preaching the gospel of the kingdom will be followed with signs. Signs and wonders. It is also stated in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let me read it for you. It says, "How shall we escape if we neglect the great salvation, so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." So the teachings of Christ, the preaching of the gospel, is followed by signs and wonders. So Jesus, he sets forth and he shows forth the work of the kingdom of God. Now, the work of the kingdom of God consists of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom and healing men of sin and sickness. Jesus' purpose for coming to earth was and is to make a difference in the destiny of mankind. That we were on our way to hell, but Jesus intercepted. He came as mediator to stand between God and man, so that man would have a way, an open door, access to the Father. A new and living way. That's the word of God. So Jesus, he came to give us salvation. The preaching of the kingdom of God is the proclamation of the King, who is Jesus Christ, and his purpose of coming. And after preaching Jesus, signs and wonders follow. Here it is. Jesus reveals, he illustrates to his disciples the power of the kingdom. Now notice the healing of the leper is a miracle. And miracles are mentioned in Matthew chapter 4 as an aspect of Jesus' ministry. Matthew 4:23-24, Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed with demons or by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. It lists a string of miracles to deal with the nature of the miracles. But not only are the miracles here mentioned, are the miracles in their entirety, because walking on water is a miracle. Changing water into wine is a miracle. Raising the dead is a miracle. So it reveals to us aspects of Jesus' ministry that Jesus would heal, Jesus would perform miracles. But understand that his miracles serve to authenticate his message. The miracles of Jesus were messages to confirm that Jesus was sent from God, is one with God, and is mediator between God and man. Let me say that again. That the miracles of Jesus were messages to confirm that Jesus was sent from God, is one with God, and is mediator between God and man. Let me give you an example. In Luke chapter 7, verse 19, verses 21 and 22, John the Baptist is in jail, and he called two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" And at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave to many who were blind. So he replied, he being Jesus, replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, miracle. The lame walk, miracle. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, miracle. The deaf hear, miracle. The dead are raised, miracle. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor." So the miracles of Jesus confirm his message. However, miracles were not Jesus's life work. Let me let that simple. Miracles were not his life work. They were signs to point us to Jesus, so that in having our focus on Jesus, we can see his life work. They illustrate his life work, but they were not his life work. His life work was Calvary. That's why Jesus came. It deals with the whole purpose of his coming. That's why, you know, when you read the scripture, you would notice that Jesus didn't heal everybody. Oh my. You say, whoa, wait. That was more than the lame man at the pool. But you only hear of Jesus healing the man that had been on his bed for 38 years and waiting on the troubling of the water. There were other impotent folks around the pool. He didn't heal everybody, but he healed enough to reveal himself as the Son of God, and to reveal that his message is of the kingdom of God. My God, help me. So when you see Jesus in scripture, all of the miracles lead up to Calvary. It's to get our attention so we can watch him in the greatest hour of his life. And that's Calvary. When he hanged between two thieves. When he hanged on the cross for 6 hours. 3 in the light and 3 in the darkness. When he finished the work that his Father had sent him to accomplish. When he satisfied the will of his Father, he said, it is finished. He didn't say it is finished after miracles. He said it is finished right before his death. His death is his life work. Paul even said, I desire to know anything among you but Christ and him crucified. So the miracles were not Jesus' life work. They only serve to illustrate his life work, that he has power over all human life, over all creation. And it helps us to understand that no man took his life. He laid it down. And if he had the power to lay it down, he could pick it up again. So here it is. He meets a leper at the foot of the mountain. And this man is a desperate dying man. He's suffering from a debilitating disease. Leprosy was and is a dreadful disease. Barclay said leprosy might begin with the loss of all sensation in some part of the body. The nerve trunks are affected. The muscles waste away. The tendons contract until the hands are like claws. There follows ulcerations of the hands and feet. Then comes the progressive loss of fingers and toes until in the end a whole hand or foot may drop off. The duration of that kind of leprosy is anything from 20 to 30 years. It is a kind of terrible progressive death in which a man dies by inches. He was a leper. And this leper was supposed to be quarantined. He was supposed to have practiced social distancing, physical distancing. And according to Jewish law and custom, one had to keep 6 feet from a leper. And if the wind was blowing toward a person from a leper, they had to keep 150 feet away. So the leper was an outcast from society, shunned as an unclean person, regarded as hopelessly afflicted and an object of perfect misery. And lepers have always been regarded as typical of the sinner in his uncleanness, shame, and misery. They were looked upon as being afflicted of God, that there was something that they had done against God, and for their punishment or their judgment, they were stricken with leprosy. Come here, Miriam, the sister of Moses. Because of her rebellion against her brother, Moses, and her desire to stand in his stead as a leader, God stricken her with leprosy. So it was considered something that people suffered, a disease that people suffered because of their disobedience. Now, we're not told this here. Matter of fact, it is not even mentioned why this man is suffering from leprosy, how he contracted the dreadful disease. All we know is he approached Jesus after Jesus descended the mountain teaching the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I like this because, first of all, the leper teaches us how to approach Jesus. He teaches us how to approach Jesus. Notice, first of all, his worshipful approach. Verse 2, the leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, in the worshipful approach, notice, first of all, he worshiped Jesus in posture. He didn't approach Jesus face to face. The Bible says he knelt down before Jesus. And bowing down before another person was a great act of respect for the other's dignity, especially for a Jewish person. So he had great respect for Jesus. I think today we have lost respect. We think we can say anything to Jesus. We think we can look at him out of eye, treat him in a kind of way, misuse, mistreat his grace, his mercy. We have no regard or very little regard for God, for Jesus Christ today. We call his name in vain. We play with his name. We make jokes and gists with his name. No regard. But this man had respect. And in his respect, he knelt down before Jesus. It shows his humility. Listen, I believe that we can turn this thing around as people of God if we learn to be humble. We learn to this thing of humility that we think we can control Jesus as if we are lords over Jesus instead of submitted to Jesus. No respect or very little respect for God's Son. Nothing for people today to curse and call his name in the same sentence. Nothing for people today to do wayward and sinful things in his house on ground that has been consecrated for worship and word. We have very little respect for him in our own homes. We don't read much of him. We don't talk much to him. Very little respect, if any respect at all. But this man, in his posture, was humble. He worshiped the Lord in his posture. This is what kneeling does. Kneeling is an act that says to Jesus, "You are greater than me." That ought to be your attitude. Whenever you desire to approach the Lord, that ought to be your attitude, that Jesus, you're greater than me. You're greater than I. I'm not on the same level. You're above all and all is beneath you. You're Lord. You're Lord of lords. You're King of kings. He worshiped Jesus in his posture. But secondly, he worshiped Jesus in his proclamation. Notice the leper called Jesus Lord. He honored Jesus as Master and God. Whew. My God. He honored or he worshiped Jesus in proclamation. But then he worshiped Jesus in petition. I like this. Now, he worshiped Jesus in petition. Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, the phrase, if you are willing, is a great leap of faith. Now, the leper is confident about who Jesus is. And he knew that Jesus could make him clean. He knew that Jesus could restore him. He knew that Jesus could make him whole. And so when he approached Jesus, he didn't say, "Do," as if in terms of an imperative, a command. He humbles himself and he totally leaves it up to Jesus. When was the last time you said to Jesus, "Lord, if you're willing"? That says a lot now about your faith in him. Lord, if you are willing. Not this whole bucket list, this whole listing of things that you want him to do and you think he should do, but Lord, if you are willing. It puts it in proper perspective. It helps us to see Jesus for who he is. Notice the man's statement, "Lord, if you are willing," is an expression of belief in the sufficiency of Jesus. There is no inadequacy, inability, meagerness, and shortage in Jesus. In Christ is all you need. So the leper's statement is not an expression of doubt, as some would suggest that he was doubting. No, he really knew Jesus' ability. He deals with the sufficiency of Jesus. He believed in the sufficient power of Jesus to heal him. If you are willing. It's a statement expressing the belief in the sovereignty of Jesus, but then it's a statement expressing the belief in the sovereignty of Jesus. Jesus is Lord and he does what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it. The old church would say he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Because God Jesus Christ is one with God. He does what he wants to do when he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. He's sovereign. So the sovereignty of Jesus is his absolute right to do all things according to his own good pleasure. What if you being healed from cancer is not his will? What if you're not getting the job, or you getting the job is not his will? What if your son's deliverance or your daughter's deliverance from a prison sentence is not his will? That's where this "if is your will." Matter of fact, James even said when it comes to life, you don't just go bragging about tomorrow. You have to always say, it be the Lord's will. See, the problem with us, most of us, we try to assume his will. And we try to put him in a box and in a way of operation. Just a fixed way of operation. And he just got to do it because he has done it one time before. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. He has absolute right to do all things according to his own good pleasure. He works all things out according to the counsel of his own will. He doesn't sit in a meeting and consult with you about what he needs to do. Think about this whole thing, you know, that we are in now, this pandemic. Many of us have prayed that it go away. But he has delayed the deliverance for a reason. It's his will. And when his desire to remove the pandemic from the land, it will be moved. But what we have to do is adhere his will. Deals with the sufficiency of Christ. He has the power. I used to have conversations with my children, and I would always share with them that I had money. I had the money to do certain things that they would ask me to do, but I didn't always do it because it wasn't healthy for me to do it. It wasn't mature enough for me to do certain things that they were asking for. And then some things are just a no. And they said, "Well, Daddy, you got it." I said, "Yes, I got it, but it's not good for you. And I know better than you what's healthy and good for you." And so in not giving them what they desired didn't make me a bad father. Oh, my. Because some of the things that they were desiring, if I had given it to them, it would have made me a bad father because they were not mature enough to handle what they were asking for. So you think you're ready for some of the stuff that you're asking for. God understands. He knows. So he doesn't give it at that particular time. Now, he may not give it. That's why the man says, "If is your will." This man was okay with living with leprosy the rest of his day. If it was not Jesus' will, desire to heal him, he was okay. Because he says, "If it's your will." Are y'all with me? So now watch Jesus. Because we see the worshipful approach, but then notice the healing of the leper. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, if he says, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. God help me. Notice the deliberate touch of Jesus. He deliberately touched this man, this leprous man, this leper. And according to the law, by touching the leper, Jesus would have been unclean until evening. But Jesus was not declared unclean because of who he is. That he can touch not only a leper and not be defiled by a leper, he could touch a dead body and not be defiled by a dead body. He was revealing that he was a fulfillment of the law. That he had power over the law. Let me validate my posture. Jesus is on the mountain with Elijah and Moses. And he was transfigured. And Moses represents the law and Elijah the prophets. And Peter got excited and said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles. In other words, he wanted to give all of them equal footing. All of them a level playing field. Let us keep the law here. Let us keep the prophets here. And then, Jesus, we even got a space for you. Let us keep the Messiah here. And the Lord God broke up that madness. He said to Peter and the other two disciples, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. He had power that the law didn't have. That the law could reveal a man's sin, but couldn't heal him and cure him of his sin. But Jesus revealed that not only did he come to reveal the sin, but he came to take care of the sin. So not only do you see the liberate touch of Jesus, but notice the declared the leper's healing. Jesus declared the leper's healing. He spoke the word of power. He says, I will, be thou clean. And in his word, the touch and the word, he healed the leper in his own name, by his own authority. He says, I will, be clean. Notice the direct healing. That it was not a delayed healing. He didn't have to go and wash in the pool and then, the leprosy be gone from his skin. No, it was a direct healing. Now, the Bible says, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And there was no delay to the healing of the leper. There was no slow process. As soon as Jesus said, I will, be thou clean, the leper was clean. His leprosy was gone. See, Jesus doesn't need a process. Jesus can say, pick up your bed and walk. Immediately you got strength in your ankle bone and your legs. Hadn't used legs in 30 years, boom, there it is. He could tell Lazarus' daughter, get up. Boom. She got up. Life came back in her lifeless body. No delay. No delay. But he doesn't just leave him with healing. Because every blessing of God is followed with instructions. See, you can't get the blessings without instructions. Now don't miss this. Let me say it again. You can't get the blessings of God without heeding the instructions. All right. Let me say it again. You can't get the blessings of God without heeding the instructions. Now, let me give you an instance before I close this particular out. When they brought the woman in that was caught up in the act of adultery, and Jesus had the charges dropped on her because they wanted to stone her. The penalty for her sin was death, and it was public stoning. So he exonerated her. He got her relieved of the charges, and he said to her, "Go, sin no more, unless a worse thing come upon you." Instructions. Instructions. So if we want to be blessed, we have to heed the instructions. There are instructions before and after, but here we see that he gives this leper or this cleansed man now direction. He says, "I tell you what you do. Go, show yourself to the priest, and offer unto him the offering that Moses commanded." If I had time, I would go with you to Leviticus 14 and show you how expensive the offering was. That it wasn't a cheap offering. And if they didn't have, they still had to give something. They had to give what they had. And what they had was, you know, a value to them. But since I don't, let me just go through this. He had to go to the priest, and the priest would declare him clean. Now, he was already healed. But in accordance to the law, to show you that Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill, he says, "Go, show yourself to the priest." So go and be pronounced clean. Go and let him examine you. Let him check you out and share with you and state to you what I have already done. And he says he will give you a certificate that says you're clean. I like this. But not only was he to go to the priest, but he was to go with something. Hear this now, every time you come into the house of God, into the presence of God, into the sanctuary of God, you ought to have something to give unto God as an expression of your gratitude for what he has done for you. That was an appointed gift. It was a sign of gratitude, something to give, an offering to say thank you. See, you don't give to get. You give because you have already gotten. Lord, help me. You don't give to, you know, enter into some negotiation and plea deal with God. No, you give to express your gratitude for what God has already given you. What he has already blessed you with. Like tithing is an act of obedience. It's an act of gratitude. It shows forth the gratefulness of the heart. So you give as a sign of gratitude. He was to go and offer unto the priest an offering. Now this is it, and I'm finished. He wants to go to the temple, give thanks to God in the sanctuary for his wonderful recovery. He was to observe the ordinances of the Mosaic ritual and to show his gratitude by his offering. So should we do when God has been merciful to us. We should give thanks in the church. We should bring our thank offerings to Almighty God. This is a miracle, the first recorded miracle of Jesus, that he healed the leper. And in healing the leper, he reveals the power of the kingdom to change the life and the destiny of mankind. If we would believe in him, trust in him, put our faith in him, if we would do that, Jesus would do marvelous and mighty things in our lives, so that we will be signs. We will be signs to point people to Jesus. Stop talking so much about what you're doing and talk more about what the Lord is doing in your life, so that he can get the glory for the great works that he's doing in your life and through your life. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this lesson. We pray your blessings upon us. Help us, O Father, to know your truth, to submit ourselves to your truth. And Father, to be signs. You've been good to us. You have healed us. Those of us who are saved, you have delivered us from sin and sickness. We had a debilitating disease, and it was taking our lives by the inches. But thank you for Jesus, who came to die in our stead for our good. Help us to be forever mindful of the great work that Christ has done on the cross of Calvary, that we are free. Because we have faith in you, we are free. Because we have submitted our lives to you, we are free. Because we humble ourselves to you as our King and as our Lord. Forgive us of our present sins and sins of future. And any sins that we haven't confessed, O Father, of past, we know that if we ask you for forgiveness, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for allowing us to see ourselves in this leprous man, that we too were at the bottom. We too were cast away, and we too suffered from isolation. Not so much from society, but isolation from the Father, because sin was in our life. But you, Jesus, are our bridge over troubled waters. You, Jesus, are mediator. You, Jesus, are our new and living way. We bless your name. We thank you. We praise you. We ask you to cover us in this time of disease and danger, chaos and confusion. The world is mad. Things are, Lord, going awry. But Father, we know you're in charge. And right in the midst of this chaos, you keep us. We're blessed, even in a world of trouble. We're blessed, and we give you glory. Watch over every member. Bless every member in Jesus' name. I pray for Reverend McCoy and his family. Help them to deal with the loss of their loved one, Miss Penn. I pray for that service that will go forth tomorrow, Lord, that will celebrate life, legacy of her son. Comfort her heart. Console her and her family. Give them strength to live life with the absence of someone near and dear. I pray Father, for all bereaved, I pray for Sister Walker that's in the hospital. Strengthen and touch her body in Jesus' name. I pray for, Lord, the entire church. I pray for our safety as we travel back to see about our family. Keep us safe. And then as we return this week, keep us safe. Watch over what you have given unto our hands. Build us up in ministry that we can meet the needs, the spiritual needs of your people. Thank you. Love you. Heal, deliver, and set free according to your holy will. In Jesus' name, amen.